This is Journey Church Podcast. Here at Journey, we believe in encountering God and embracing people. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. On this warm Christmas day, Sunday before Christmas Day, we're so glad that you've made it to church. I do want to just give a little bit of a plug for our Christmas Eve services. If you haven't got your ticket, I know we've never done it like this before. And by the way, if you're listening to me and you haven't got tickets and you're going to forget to get tickets, we're still going to let you in on Christmas Eve. We're just doing this for ourselves. We're giving out tickets just so we can deal with fire code issues, everyone. So if you haven't got your tickets yet, there's like a few left for the 4 o'clock. Like, and by a few, that might be old news now, because the first service people already heard me say that there were a few left for 4 o'clock. So if you haven't got your tickets yet, I'm going to encourage you to come to the 6 o'clock. Bring somebody with you. I know Pastor Dave sent an email to a lot of you this week saying, hey, who are you bringing this week? I want to pray for you. And we've prayed for all those people that you're bringing. And we're going to believe that God's going to speak to people. He's going to meet people, because that's what he wants to do. That's his heart, his will, to bring people to him and to show up in their lives. And yeah, we're really excited about it. Tonight is Blue Christmas. This is one service that I've said to our staff before that I actually, it doesn't matter to me how many people come to this service. If two people come, we'll still do it. Partly because I think it's a necessity in the Christian world that we get back to lamenting with people. There are people who, you know, maybe yourself, you just had a hard season. Maybe you haven't lost somebody, but if you think about maybe you've lost a relationship or you've lost a job or just maybe you feel like you've lost a bit of hope, I would encourage you to come tonight. We're just going to just spend some time with Jesus in a quiet and reflective service, and I think there's something really important about us doing that with one another. Maybe you're in a really good spot, and you don't really have lament in your heart right now. Well, then it would be a really great time for you to come and support somebody who is maybe walking through the valley of the shadow of death. That's what it means to be the body of Christ. And we don't just come to church to sit on maroon chairs, as cozy as they are. We come to be with one another, to walk with each other in good times and in bad times. And so I'd encourage you to come at 6 o'clock. It's just going to be an hour service where we just spend some time reflecting. And there are many people that come to this church because maybe they were looking for something, and they ended up coming to a Blue Christmas service and encountered God. And so we're believing that that's going to happen again. Okay, we're into week two of the series called Believe. In the first week, we talked about all the prophetic words and it happened. And so that, like, just basically laying the foundation that to believe in Jesus isn't like just pie in the sky. Like, we kind of hope this is true. The Lord actually gave us proof, and that proof is amazing. By the way, this is just a PSA for all of you who are future-oriented like myself. In January, Pastor Herman and I are going to start a series called Receipts, and it's an apologetic series. We're going to answer some big life question answers. We're going to talk about if God is good, why is there so much evil in the world or suffering in the world? We're going to ask questions about the Bible and can we really trust it? Pastor Herman's going to preach a really good sermon about how do we know that not all roads lead to God? Like, how can we really believe in Jesus? So anyways, I'm telling you this is a PSA. It's beyond Christmas. For those of you that are future-oriented, think of somebody you could invite to this, somebody maybe who maybe has questions about faith. People who have questions about faith, listen, you might be here and you've come to church a lot of time and you've got questions. Listen, God is not afraid of our questions, nor is he turned off by our questions. C.S. Lewis said, doubt is like putting one foot forward in a stance. It's like you're actually asking the questions. And so we want to foster that. It's going to be a really, really fun month. But anyways, today, I want to focus on God's intervention in the natural world through the miraculous birth of Jesus. And to get there, I want to read the scripture found in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. Here we go. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be, but the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Now, just as an aside, let's just stop here for a second. You're Mary, and this long thing, like, I think we just, can you imagine someone saying to you, like, his kingdom will never end, your child's kingdom will never end? We all want to believe good things about our kids, but whoa. "How will this be," Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." That's such a beautiful scripture. "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled to me." Then the angel left her. Here's what I want us to focus on today. Have you ever thought about the way that Jesus came into the world? I mean, God could have sent Jesus any way. He could have, like, made him become he could have portaled him down at age 30 and just said, "Okay, I'm here. Here I am. I'm going to die for your sins now. You're all a mess. Here I am." And it would have worked out the same way, right? He could have sent him by alien ship. He could have just said, "Here am I." But instead, he chose to do this miraculous, like this miraculous way of bringing Jesus. Instead, he chose to impregnate a virgin. And Jesus was to make his grand entrance through a miracle that would be talked about and not understood for thousands. He talked about and not understood in thousands of years. I was thinking about this a couple of weeks ago because I was thinking about when I was in seminary. There is an entire course that you can take, a 12-week course on the virgin birth of Christ. Okay, the whole 12 weeks is spent like talking about all the theories. And the bottom line is, like, I was in the course for some time, and like by 12 weeks, I was like, basically, this is a pamphlet. And the pamphlet says, "Jesus is born of a virgin birth. We don't understand it. The end." But the thing is, it's like this really, if we're not careful, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, the hedonic adaptation, that we become apathetic to things that are new to us. So, like, you know, you get the new car and everything is fancy and then like a couple of weeks later, your kids barf in the car and the car is old. Or like you get the new promotion and you can't believe that you're going to be making this much money now. And then a year from then, you're like, how I'm never going to be able to make it on this amount. Yes. This is true of us with the virgin birth. Like, I actually want to encourage you to stop for a minute and think about the fact that Jesus came as a miracle. Because this tells us something about how God wants to work in our lives today. And there are a few things I want to talk about in this text as we discuss Jesus' miraculous entrance, because I think they have bearing on our lives today. The first one is, the coming of Jesus was unexpected. It's not as though Mary was walking through life saying, "You know what, I think what's going to happen to me is I'm going to become the virgin mother of God himself." Okay, so like teenagers do have a lot of extra bravado. I think this is taking it a step too far. It was a suddenly. So suddenly an angel appeared. And we see this in the text, the word suddenly, in the nativity text a number of times. Like suddenly a great host of angels came and sang, "Glory to God in the highest." And some of you are here today, and I really believe you're going to receive a miracle from the Lord today, and it will come as a suddenly. It will be suddenly, but this is the way God works. He works in the suddenly. The fact that he brought his son like a suddenly tells you that this is why God likes a surprise party. This is what we can see from Scripture, all throughout Scripture. He brings these like big surprises to people, which is why your life might look like a mess right now, but you don't know but that God is going to bring a suddenly to you. This is why you can't give up. This is why right here in this moment when it feels like everything is difficult, you might be about to turn a corner to a suddenly from God. And we see that in the Christmas story, that humanity was in the middle of a mess and then suddenly God sent Gabriel to Mary, told her that she was going to be overshadowed with the Most High. Christmas reminds us that God is a God of suddenly. Suddenly, everything changes. Any miracle I have ever experienced has come in the way of the birth of Jesus, suddenly. I've told many of you the story about my parents coming to the Lord miraculously and how when they came to the Lord, they thought they were the only people in the world because they'd never met any of you before. And they put an ad in the paper because that's what you did in the 80s. And people came over to our house who were interested in learning more about God. And in those moments, I was probably between 5 and 7 when this was all happening. I can remember being 5, 6 years old and seeing the suddenly of God. People who couldn't hear were hearing again. People who couldn't walk were walking again. Anytime, and none of those people planned on those days that God was going to meet them. He just comes to us in a suddenly way. This is why we can always, for years I coached basketball, and I would tell my teams that the best teams are the teams that are always ready for the ball. Okay, so those of you who are sports-minded know this. You can't stand backwards like hoping that the ball comes to you. You'll never be ready. You have to stand with an open stance, ready for the ball. I want us to stand with an open stance, believing that the God we serve is a God of suddenly. He comes and brings suddenly moments to us, moments that we could not have expected, moments that we could not have anticipated. I was telling the church this morning that, like, when Dave and I came to Calgary, we were pastoring church in the hills, and we were in a school located in the north, and our youth group had just gotten kicked out of, let's see, I don't know if Pastor Jeff is here. No, not this morning, but maybe in the first service he was here. But, like, we didn't have a place for youth to go, and I was so discouraged, and we were on holidays, and I said to Dave, maybe we weren't even called to this, Dave. Maybe I heard wrong. Maybe you heard wrong. Maybe we both heard wrong together. Maybe we should do something else. Maybe I should make crafts for a living. If you know me, I should not, was not from the Lord. I should make no crafts ever. Me and a glue gun are very, very bad together. Anyways, we're driving, and I'm like near, you know when you're like, you're mad, but you don't want to cry because crying would like, okay, so I'm like mad, and I'm trying to be like not so mad, and Dave is like, no, we heard from the Lord. Thank God. Thank God for husbands that are straight and steady. Anyways, and then suddenly, Pastor Roy called and said, hey, I was thinking the Lord woke me up in the night. I was thinking our churches should come together. This was a suddenly, and here we are today. Every single time God has moved in my life, it's because there's been a suddenly. I want to just prick your faith today. I want to encourage your faith. Some of you are here, and it feels like you've asked 1,000 times, and it feels like you're in the same place. I want to call you once again to believe that God is a God of suddenly. He's a God that can move in unexpected ways at unexpected times. The second thing we see in this text is that Mary wasn't sure she was the right candidate. It wasn't as if Mary responds with the, I've been waiting for this moment all my life. I always knew I was more spiritual than everybody else. No, instead she responds with, how can this be? Like, what are you talking about? I don't understand. Now, we can't all know that what was happening in Mary's mind, but we know from Scripture that she was troubled. Scripture tells us. And this isn't the kind of adjective you use to describe someone that's been sure of something her entire life. To be troubled means to be unsure, to be unsettled, to be kind of nervous, anxious, as our current society says. Another way of contextualizing the scripture would be to say that Mary was a little bit anxious about what the angel said to her. She wasn't like a raging ball of faith, like, yes, surely, I will be the son of God's mother. No. She was anxious. She was troubled. And some of you are here today and you're not sure you're the right candidate for a miracle. The miracle of Jesus' birth reminds us that God takes unlikely candidates and does miracles. How you feel or how you can figure it out. Maybe you need a miracle in your marriage. But you're also asking, how can this be, since there seems to be so much water underneath the bridge? Or a miracle in your finances? But you're also saying, how can this be, because it seems like I've made so many bad decisions? Or maybe you're asking God for a relationship and no one is in sight, and you're asking, how can this be? The God we serve is able to make miracles happen even when you can't figure out how he will do it. Somehow he just does. And this is when we believe in God math. So, like, I love this nativity scripture for, I mean, 1,000 reasons, but one of them is just that the angel says, and the Most High will overshadow you, and you will conceive of a son. Okay, so now we've seen a lot of plays. If you've been in, you know, we've heard that line, and we all go, yeah. What does that mean? And the Most High will overshadow you, and you will conceive of a son. God doesn't give them the instruction manual on how he's going to do that. Right? And we're all kind of glad for that because... But he doesn't get into the... You see, we actually have to believe even when we can't see it. So, like, you don't know how God's going to fix your marriage or fix your mental health because it feels impossible. You don't really understand how he's going to fix your finances because it feels hard. You don't really understand... this is the way of God. This is the way he sent his son. This is our story of redemption. We actually have signed up. Listen, if you know Jesus here, you've signed up for, like, I believe and I don't quite understand how it works, but I know that Jesus is real. And this is how he works in our lives as well. Every time that God's done a miracle in my life, and he's done many, I mean, somebody could say to me, well, how did that happen? God just showed up in my life somehow. He does. He does show up in these amazing ways that we cannot figure out. And why does he do that? To keep reminding us that he is God and we are not. That he is the one who is orchestrating our lives. That he is the one who is breathing hope and faith and life into us. That he is the one that can make something that is not and make it as though it is. He's a miracle worker. And the very fact that this is how he brings Jesus into the world reminds us that this is how he wants to work in our lives. Finally, Mary's yes allows God's miracle to occur. I often wonder what would have happened if Mary had said, no, not today, not right now, I'm not ready, I'm 15, I can't do it. We know that all throughout Scripture there is this idea that saying yes to God positions us for a miracle. This is a principle in the Bible. And while the Bible doesn't explicitly state if you say yes, you will see a miracle, there are many stories of obedience and faith and surrender that lead directly to miraculous outcomes. Let me just give you a few of these key scriptures that I think will help us today. So first of them is Mary's yes to God. Mattered that Mary said yes to God. What about Peter's yes to Jesus? You know, Peter, the story goes like this. Peter been fishing all night. He got nothing. He's tired. He's grumpy. I don't really fish, but I do know that when I don't catch anything, the few times I have been fishing, And then Jesus says, throw your net over onto the other side. Peter says, fine, yes, I'll do it. And he catches this big, miraculous catch. What about the widow at Zarephath in 1 Kings chapter 17? So the widow's about to die. There's a famine in the land. And Elijah says, go and make me a loaf of bread and use your last little bit of oil. And he says to the woman, you know what you need to do? Go get a bunch of jars. You're going to collect the jars, collect as many jars as you can. And the Bible tells us the oil never ran out of those jars. Her yes mattered. It positioned her. She could have said, not today, I'm just getting ready to die. Help me make my funeral arrangements. Instead, she said yes. She went and collected those jars. Abraham said yes to sacrifice Isaac. He was willing to say yes to God. The 10 lepers' obedience in Luke chapter 17. This is an interesting scripture because Jesus was going into a village and 10 lepers met him, it says, the scripture said. And they stood at a distance. And they called out with a loud voice. They said, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And the Bible says that as they went, they were cleansed. I mean, okay. So, like, imagine you've got leprosy and you see Jesus. Okay, leprosy was a terrible skin disease. Nobody wanted to be around you. It was a surefire way to, like, not have any friends and influence nobody, okay? So they've got leprosy, the things are not going well for them, and Jesus says to them, go to show, like, there's no, like, gigantic prayer. Jesus doesn't sweat. He just says, go show yourselves to the priests. Now, I'm going to want more proof before I go show myself to the priests, but these people just said yes to Jesus. They just, and as they went, Jesus healed them. There's a principle in here that when Jesus asks us to do something, we have to say yes to him. Sometimes the miracles happen as we're on our way. Joshua and the priests crossing the Jordan, when they crossed the Jordan, when Israel came to cross the Jordan, they had to put their feet into that flowing Jordan River. And that would have been a very scary thing to do. And as they did that, the waters parted. The wedding at Cana, we talked about this in the fall. They actually had to fill those big pots, those cleansing ritual pots, with water. There's this idea over and over again in Scripture that we would say yes to Jesus. He doesn't force, partly it's because he doesn't want to force us. It's not the kind of God we serve. We serve a God of relationship. God is a God of relationship. Over and over and over again in Scripture, we see that he does not force us to accept gifts from him. He does not force us to have relationship with him. He actually wants us to take steps towards him. Okay, so here's our key takeaways. I said in the first service, I preached the shortest I'd ever preached in my life this Sunday. One, obedience precedes miracles. Obedience positions people to experience God's power. The priest stepped into the Jordan. Peter lowered his nets, and the lepers started walking towards the priest. And only after their steps of faith did miracles happen. Excuse me. It's a little bit why we ask people to come forward. You know, like, I believe God could do miracles for all of you out in the seats because he's that good and he's that amazing. But part of the coming forward is saying, God, I just believe you that you can do this, and I'm going to take some steps of faith to believe that you can do the miraculous in my life. Secondly, surrender opens the door for the miraculous. Mary, Abraham, and the widow all had to let go and trust God fully. So the summation of all of our Christian lives, the summation of discipleship, is that we would learn to trust Jesus more. The summation of your Christian life is not that you would get more Bible knowledge. The summation of your Christian life is that you would learn to trust Jesus more. Now, the Bible helps us to trust Jesus more. But the point of it all is that you learn to trust him more in every part of your life. When we ask God, you know, the reason we have to ask God for miracles is because it teaches us to trust him more. It is not lost on me. You can hear my voice, right? And I had as much honey and lemon as I could before I got up here. It's not lost on me that I'm talking about miracles and I got this terrible Christmas cold. And I was like feeling a little bit bad about this when I first got the cold. You know, when you get the cold, your whole body aches. And Dave is saying, are you sick? No, I am not sick in Jesus' name. I've really did a lot of working out this week and I'm stiff. But I realized, you know, the fact that we need miracles doesn't make us less spiritual. I'm in need of miracles as much as all of you all. What is going to make the difference is if we ask God to meet us where we need a miracle. The fact that you or your children or your grandchildren need a miracle is an opportunity for us to trust God. To trust him more fully. To be able to say, I'm going to lean my whole life, Lord, into you. I'm going to lean every part of me into you. And so I'm trusting God for miracles to take place in my own life. The minute we stop believing God for miracles is the minute we started relying on ourselves and not the kingdom of God. So this is why Paul can say, I can praise God in every circumstance. Because even in hardship, some of you have walked in with all kinds of hardship. It's an opportunity to trust God. To say, God, can you help me to fully lean into you? Sometimes the miracle is in the process. This is just true. There's a story in the Old Testament about a man named Nahum. And he also had leprosy. By the way, a lot of the miracles that God did were miracles where people were isolated and then they were brought back into community, which tells you about what God thinks about community. Some of you right now, the miracle you need is actually for your heart to be healed so that you can be brought back into community. Do you feel like you can't trust people? That picture of leprosy is a picture of us being isolated from each other. Anyways, Nahum has leprosy, and the prophet tells him, go and cleanse yourself 7 times And he thinks this is weird at first, but he does it. And as he does it, the miracle happens. I'm not really sure why God sometimes works in process like that, but he does. In a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity. We're going to give us all an opportunity to come forward and be prayed for miracles. I'm believing that many miracles are going to happen today. But I am going to tell you this. Some of you are going to have a miracle of process. And that doesn't mean that it's any less miraculous in any other way. Just it's how God works. It's scriptural. God's plans for us, we find, are greater than our comfort. Saying yes to God often requires us to step out of the comfort and logic, like Gideon or Jonah or the widow at Zarephath. But when we trust him, miracles follow. The cool thing is, when we come to church on Sunday morning, we are not coming to like a self-help club where everything makes sense and the four principles of 54 things, that if you do them all the way this way and say this way, that it'll all work out. We serve a God who's bigger than that. We serve a God, we believe that he is a supernatural God, that he can do things that defy logic. This is why we pray for miracles to happen. We pray for people to be healed. We believe that God can come and change hearts and lives. We believe that he can transform families and parts of our lives that feel broken. But this requires that we step out of our comfort zone. And I would say probably more so for us, those of us that live in a very logical Western mindset. Part of the reason it's really good that our church has continued to grow in a multicultural vein is because it helps those of us who are stuck in like a very Western way of thinking, that this A plus B must equal C. I'm so grateful for those of you that have come and stretched our faith and helped us to believe for supernatural things. But I want us as a community to, just as the first birth of Jesus, as the miraculous incarnation of Jesus was a miracle, I want us to believe for miracles as well, to believe that God can do something supernatural. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. Such a beautiful scripture. It's a beautiful truth that God wants to give us good things. You know, this week I was at our staff meeting and I was telling our staff, I really... There's been a few times in my pastoral life where I felt like the word of the Lord very clearly. And I really felt like God wanted to do miracles in our midst today. And I was telling this to them, and many of them very wisely. We have really amazing pastors on the staff who pastor me often. And they said, Jess, just make sure that you tell them that we're going to believe God for miracles, but let's not let anybody get in shame. If they prayed for someone and it hasn't worked out, or they've had somebody who died, or, you know, we don't want to be that kind of a church either where you come and feel worse because life has happened to you. And just hear me very clearly about that. I know what it is to pray for something and not, maybe this side of heaven, we may not understand all the ways, but I do know this, God asks us to ask for miracles. It is not our job to defend God or to like worry about the outcome. You are not to worry about the outcome. We are just to come with faithful hearts, believing that God says that he will do miracles, and believing from his word that he does do miracles. I've had plenty of things that I've prayed for that like it didn't turn out exactly the way I wanted to, but I'm going to tell you, I've had plenty of times where God has done a miracle, and I would not change how I prayed here for the world. I would continue to pray for a miracle. I would believe for a miracle because that's all that we're given in Scripture. And sometimes, some of you have prayed for a miracle 5,223 times and nothing has happened. And you just feel like, I don't know. I just know that sometimes in Scripture even, it shows us that just it's like on the 5,224th time, God does a miracle. Now, I am not sure about that. You can come and we can have a theological discussion about that. I'm not sure. I just know God works on us as we're asking for miracles. When we're asking for a miracle, we're throwing ourselves into the arms of God and saying, God, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. And if I have to throw myself into your arms 5,235 times, I will. I will, because that's going to shape me. Yes? Yeah. How many of you are here today and you'd say, like, there's something in my life I need a miracle for? Yeah, most of us. Most of us, we need a miracle. Partly we need a miracle because we live in a fallen world where people get sick and disappointments happen. It feels like you're really heavy. We live in a fallen world where it's hard. And what's amazing about this God is that we can serve a God who wants the best for us. He has your best in mind. His plans to prosper you and give you a future. And you might be living in Babylon right now, that might be true. But we can ask him for miracles. And some of you will be tempted right now. I'm going to ask the prayer team just to come right now. We're going to have some people on the landings here too, just for all of our friends in the balcony so that you don't have to come all the way down. I'm saving you from leg day. Some of you will be tempted to say, oh, my miracle's not that big. I don't need that big of a miracle. Like, I'm not that sick. Nobody told me I was going to die. I'll leave this. I want you to think more expansively than that. What if God did do a miracle in your life? What would that do for your family tree? Some of you, your children need to see you leaning into the power and presence of God. They need to see the power of God in your life. Maybe the miracle's not for you at all. It's for the people who live with you. Maybe the miracle's not for you at all. Maybe it's for your neighbor. I want to encourage you today to not become apathetic to this Christmas story. But it was a story of miracles. It was a miracle story. God wants to do a miracle in your life. Some of you have given up. You just feel like, okay, well, like, I wouldn't ask about my... I really feel strongly that there's some of us here with mental health challenges. And hear me today. I don't want you to feel shame about it, but I believe God wants to break some of that, heal you of that, in the same way that he'd heal us of other illnesses. Some of us have just given up and just said, that's just the way that I am. I'm just going to be that way. I just believe we should contend for a better day, for a miracle. Maybe it's not even for you. It was for the person around you that's asking, is God really real? Does he really care about me? Can you stand to your feet this morning? I believe that God wants to meet us here. You just close your eyes for a minute. What would that miracle look like? I want you to really, really ask the Lord, what is the miracle that you want me to ask for today, Lord? Maybe it's a couple things. What would it look like if God came and met you in that place? Thank you, Jesus. For some of you, that miracle is you've had a hard time even believing in Jesus. You've had a hard time like connecting the dots and actually having a relationship with God. And the miracle today will be that God will make himself real to you. God will reveal himself to you, and it'll be the greatest miracle of your life. Just in this moment, maybe you're here and you've never said yes to Jesus before. I just believe that God, if you'll say yes to him, the Bible says in Romans 9 and 10 that if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that you would be saved. It's a really simple prayer, a powerful but simple prayer saying, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you came as a baby, that you died on the cross for my sins. If you'll pray that prayer, God will come in and he will never leave you. So worship team leads us though. There are those of us that have a plethora of different things we're asking God for. I'm going to ask you to do something really brave. I'm going to ask you to step out of your seat from where you are. And as you come, I'm going to believe that God's going to start doing that miraculous. We've got prayer team that wants to pray with you today, wants to believe God for miracles for you. And let's just believe that God's going to do good things amongst us, yes? So Jesus, thank you for my friends. I pray that you would give them the courage now to believe you for miracles. I pray that lives would be transformed, that hearts would be touched, that people would be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that your Spirit is here right now to change and transform us. Thank you, God, that you are able to take what seems dead to us and make it alive again. In Jesus' name, would you just come even before the band begins to sing? Would you just come now?
Thank you for joining us today on Journey Church Podcast. For more information about our ministry, visit myjourney.church.